This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between. What's going on, guys? Your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know. Shout out to all my supporters holding me down from day one. You guys are the best. It's about to be a whole vibe in here, y'all. So you already know we're 3 days removed from the Super Bowl. You already know Super Bowl champs, the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. They won it. They won it big. I told y'all. Nah. Honestly thought it was going to be a blowout, like just looking at it on paper. And if you saw the beginning of the game, the way Odell was starting to go off, I was like, it's not only going to be a blowout. I'm like, Odell about to be the MVP, right? By the way, everything was looking, but unfortunately, you know, things happen. He was injured. When I saw it was that non-contact injury, that's the worst. He was, like, running a slant route. Simple, easy catch, pass. It was like he caught it, dropped it, grabbed his knee. I was like, ACL. Automatically. Needed help off the field. Then when I saw him come back, you know, after halftime without, you know, pads and jersey on, cleats, I was like, it's over. You know, this is definitely not what he wanted, but he definitely helped the Rams. You know, he had the momentum started. He already had the defense on their feet. They were just like, man, it was no joke. But Cooper Kupp, man, MVP, Super Bowl, rightfully so. I mean, this dude's had a heck of a year. We have to start talking about this guy like he is one of the best, because he is. I mean, the wide receivers, I mean, when you look at them around the league. Yeah, you have Davante Adams. Like, right now, they're looking at the number one, number two spot, just based off of, I mean, what their ability. But some people made some good points too, because, you know, Cooper Kupp wasn't necessarily doing that until Matthew Stafford came, right? So we have to also give that connection some credit, right? So, because Matthew Stafford wasn't exactly, you know, winning playoff games and, you know, putting up all these highlight reels in Detroit, right? And even though he was a first round overall pick. But that's why chemistry is everything, guys. Like, you know, they spent time together, they studied together, and it worked out great for both of their careers. You know, Matthew Stafford is no longer question marks next to his name. You know, you guys can debate about the whole Hall of Fame thing, you know, at some other point. I don't feel like that's fair. Just let the man enjoy it. He won a Super Bowl. This is what you wanted from him. Everybody was talking about the Rams, the super team. You know, they're really doubling down. You know, they got everybody they needed. They had that quarterback. You know, their defense is solidified with Aaron Donald and, you know, and how they required Von Miller. Okay. You know, even though that Robert Woods went down, okay, but y'all got OBJ, you know, and then you got Cooper Kupp on the other side. I mean, come on, like, you guys are stacked, you guys are good, you guys should win it. And though it was hard, it wasn't easy. I mean, but I must say, like, overall, guys, I mean, if you're, like, a first-time, you know, NFL fan this season, then what a time. I mean, I have people talking to me that's been watching football for 20, 30 years, and they said that I don't think there's been a playoffs like this ever. Like, ever. And, you know, I get down on my ESPN Classic every now and again. So, I mean, I've seen a game or two back then. And it's like, or at least postseason games. It's like, man, every week. It didn't matter if it was the wild card, the divisional, the championship game, even leading up to the Super Bowl. I mean, everything, nothing was decided. You know, everything was definitely decided in between those lines. It was done in the trenches, you know, for all you real football fans, you know. I mean, these linemen were getting at it. You know, some of them getting exposed, others stepping up, elevating themselves. But when you have your quarterback, you know, Joe Burrow sacked, what, he was sacked like another 7 times in that game, and most sacked quarterback in the league overall the whole season. I mean, that's not going to win you football games. So now you already know what to do. You made it this far with a weak offensive line. Congratulations. Most people can't do that. You've made it this far, especially with a quarterback who doesn't really scramble as much. I mean, Joe Burrow, he's starting to, though. Don't get me wrong, but he doesn't do it as much as like a Patrick Mahomes or, you know, or Josh Allen, so to speak. So, but who knows? Who knows what he may add more to his game? He's still new. You know, as you, he was fresh off injury of last year, season-ending injury, and he showed you what he can do. So the Bengals already know. Make some changes on that offensive line. You know, build up your defense a little bit. They have a solid team. Solid team. Super Bowl was great to watch. I mean, I love seeing Aaron Donald, one of the best football players ever. You know, defensive players don't get enough credit. He's definitely up there with Lawrence Taylor. I don't know if he's better because I had to sit back and actually watch a couple games, like actually this week, of Lawrence Taylor. Old film. Like, yeah, I'm that much of a nerd, guys. Sorry. Just because when people are so quick to elevate guys, I mean, it does make you think, like, we really have a problem, like, being just prisoner of the moment, right? We're just so ready to just elevate guys without realizing, like, wait, somebody did that before them, though, right? You know what I mean? Like, we just get into this phase where we just can't see beyond today, you know? It's like, hey, or see, actually, I should say, see anything before today. You know, there was people that was definitely here that paved the way, and we have to respect that. And not only that, we have to recognize that. You know, it's that recency bias. Like, that's actually a real thing. It's like when you're used to just seeing things of the now, you're kind of just forgetting about the past. You're kind of like, oh, that already happened, yeah. And then you kind of make excuses because it's just easier to make an argument of what's happening now because just because of memory's sake, you know. But Aaron Donald, man, yeah, maybe he's number two. Maybe it's Lawrence Taylor. Then it's, you know, Aaron Donald. I don't know. They had the parade yesterday. Sean McVay, Aaron Donald all screaming like they want to run it back. He's saying, why not? They built a super team. I mean, to be fair, they are drunk. Let's face it. Right? They're having a good time. They're caught up in the moment. When everything dies down, you know, the celebration's a little bit older, and then it gets, and then the talk becomes, you know, with the draft coming up, as well as when they start heading into training camp, or when it's those decisions that need to be made. Is he really coming back? That's when I'll start listening to it as serious talk. For now, you know, I mean, he's in the moment. He's enjoying it. He's enjoying it with his teammates. You know, they've battled hard. They fought. They lived up to the hype. There was nothing but pressure all over them. And guess what? They're in LA, and they lived up to it. You got to give them the credit where credit's due. You know, every guy that needed a redemption story, Odell, I mean, who'd have known that this was going to happen, you know, when he joined this team in, like, week 10? Who'd have known? I mean, he could have ended up anywhere. I mean, but we actually did a show where we were trying to figure out where he was going to end up after his dad released that highlight film of Baker Mayfield pretty much missing him on every route that he was running for, like, 2 seasons straight, which was great. But at the same time, it just makes you think, you know, like, wow, like, what if he hadn't made another choice? You know, he wouldn't have been a Super Bowl champion. But he's right. You just got to trust and believe, and, you know, and everything just works. You know, it just plays out itself. As long as you're working hard and you're doing everything that you need to do, that's all that's really all that matters at the end of the day. But, yeah, congrats to them, to the Rams. And we'll see. But, I mean, isn't this always bittersweet, right? Super Bowl, it's like, definitely they need to just make it a national holiday, guys. I mean, come on. I think they said they had like 115 million viewership. I mean, I think it's safe to say that's definitely a holiday, you know, when you have that many people tuned in and engaged, or at least people are aware of it, right? The halftime show was so dope. Definitely got up and started crip walking. I don't know about y'all, right? You know the vibes. Everybody, I don't know. I'm so used to the halftime shows that are not all that great because they're not like back in the, I'm gonna say back in the day, like when they had Michael Jackson, when they had Whitney Houston, like those were, now those are some serious performers. Or even Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars was a good one. That was the one that was like more recent. But I don't know, when they started having all these other people, I was just like, you just rather just tune it out and just say, just bring the game on back, you know. Commercials were, there were, I think it was like one or two that were pretty cool. The Sopranos one, that was really cool. I'm not sure if you guys seen that. That was really dope. That definitely brought back some memories, you know. That was really cool, when bringing out Meadow and the other kid, her brother. But anyway, it's bittersweet. The NFL is over for now. I'm sure you're going to have guys that have their mock, you know, drafts that they're usually wrong about. Even if they get drafted high, who cares sometimes? It doesn't always pan out, right? That's why when they say, as an organization, if you found your guy, you found your guy. It really doesn't matter where you pick him at, as long as you're able to build around him. You know, especially speaking of, like, speaking of a quarterback, like, when you're trying to draft a really good quarterback and you're trying to figure out what's going to work for your system, your offensive coordinator, you know, you have to see what makes sense for your culture and what you're trying to do. You know, you need more of a game manager because you want to run the ball, because you have a really good back. You know, that's what you want to look at. So, I don't know. I don't really pay attention to those mock drafts. It's just foolishness. I used to when I was naive, and I was like, oh, that, wow. They're kind of right about some of these things, like where they get drafted. It's like, okay, so, and then when you see them play, you're like, yeah, that was kind of a lot of hype for nothing, right? So, all you got to do is just see. I mean, Giants, right? We had a high draft pick. You know, we have Daniel Jones. How's that working out for us? Moving right along. So, bittersweet, guys. NFL definitely coming to an end. We have some exciting NBA stuff, though. That's always great. It never, never, never gets old in the NBA, right? Because everything is just starting to speed up. Everything is kicking off. It's unfortunate that what's going on with the Lakers. I mean, yeah, if you've seen the game last night, yeah, Anthony Davis went down, rolled his ankle, but it looked really bad. It looked like he almost, like, broke it. It looked pretty bad. But I'm pretty sure, right, when I said that, if you didn't already know that, you were probably just like, okay, Anthony Davis is hurt again. And, you know, like, you're already ready to, like, everybody's desensitized to him being injured, which is unfortunate. Because now you're asking LeBron at the age of 37 to do even more than he has already been doing. And I'm pretty sure he's already doing way more than he bargained for. I'm pretty sure when he assembled his team in the offseason, and I say him because, yes, I'm sure he had a large hand in this, literally, about who was, you know, getting dealt and why people wanted certain people here, you know. Could have had DeMar Rosen, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I just don't like when people handpick guys, and then once they're here, you're kind of like, oh, I expected so much more, you know? And it's like, well, see, when you pick players, like, that's why being a GM is not that easy, even though we like, as fans, right, and or just people on the outside, like to look at the game so simplistically, like it's so easy to just mix and match players, even when you guys have your own, you know, fantasy teams, right? Because that's what you do. You try to pick the best of the best and see what, you know, that's why it's called fantasy. That probably does work in fantasy. But in real life, I mean, that's hard. That's hard. Yet, you need talent, especially in the NBA. One or two guys can make a huge difference. We already know that. That's why we go crazy in the offseason when the NBA, when there's like one big trade, or even recently when there's Even big trades being made between, you know, organizations that are trying to compete for a chip with the 76ers and the Nets recently. Like, that's why we're like, oh, man, because you know that one piece could be a game changer. Like, we've seen it before. That's just how much of an impact one player can make in the NBA, you know, versus the NFL. And I know people are going to say, like, Tom Brady and stuff, and that's another conversation for another day. And that guy also has like 7 championship rings that a lot of teams would love to have. But anyway, it's not easy. So I'm sure LeBron is good friends with, you know, Russell Westbrook. And I'm pretty sure there was another reason why he chose him too. You know, because people thought what he was going to have. I feel like Westbrook at this point in his career is only going to look good or be able to help your team if you have a very specific role for him. Like somebody else said it perfectly. Actually, I'm not going to take credit for it. Someone else said it, but it was just perfect what he is. He is a superstar role player. I know, it's like, how are you? He is. At this stage in his career, not now. I mean, not before. We're not talking about how his journey to become a Hall of Famer. Because remember, that's what he is. He is a Hall of Famer, regardless about how he's playing and how he's very, you know, turnover prone. I mean, that comes with not only, well, him too. I mean, you can't just like alleviate. I'm not alleviating him blame because it's him too. But it's also not knowing your role, right? Not having like a defined culture there. And how could you? Especially when you keep making trades, when you keep switching guys around, right? So you're not giving guys enough time to gel together. Now, the championship that they won that people like to keep bringing up, yeah, they also got rid of a lot of those guys that help give them that championship, because everybody just wants to look at the flashy players, but nobody wants to look at the dirty work. Like when you got to look far on the end at the stat sheet, the plus or minus. Those are the guys you need that's going to make the difference between you winning a championship or you coming really close to winning it. You've seen that with the Suns. You've seen that with even Miami. You know, there's a reason why they went to get out to get Kyle Lowry. Like, watch the difference that makes in the playoffs. You know? Those key players make a difference. Not to mention they were young, coachable, right? No ego, no accolades necessary to really speak from, so more or less, you tell them to do something or you tell them their role, they're going to do it, right? But here on the Lakers, you have a lot of guys who've already made a name for themselves. They're their own brand. Like, Lakers is a brand, yes, but Carmelo Anthony, he's a brand within himself. Russell Westbrook, he's a brand within himself. And LeBron James and AD, they all have their own brand. With that comes ego. Maybe not buying into the culture, if there was a culture that Frank Vogel had instilled upon them, besides the Lakers, the win culture. We already know that. So just trying to assemble all these guys and just assume that it's going to work just based off of things that they've done in the past, that's just too simplistic. You can't build a team around that expecting it to just work off the gate. Can you build and put guys around them and maybe see how it works? But I feel like that's still risky because all these guys are injury prone at this point in their career. Health is a big concern. And now that we have COVID as well, it doesn't help the situation. You know, guys just out for, you know, COVID protocol reasons. And then you have injury on top of it. You know, guys can be out for a significant amount of time, and that's just not conducive to winning. At the same time, guys need to learn chemistry. Chemistry is not necessarily, you know, built, you know, in practice. It's sometimes like during games, after the games, you know, team building type things. But more so is during the games. The NBA speed is so crazy. Like the in-game speed. It's just ridiculous how fast it is. So when you're throwing the ball and you're expecting a guy to be there, like your timing has to match up. And that's why it was just so unfortunate for the Lakers when you saw AD went down, because for the first time last night, to me, I mean, I watch a lot of Laker games, but Russell Westbrook and AD they just seem to have like this chemistry that I have not seen before. You know, before it looked a little inconsistent, but I'm like, for most of the game, you know, until AD went down, I was like, wow, like you can kind of see glimpses of what the Lakers are supposed to look like. And then when you see, you know, hopefully you get a healthy Carmelo Anthony, you know, and hopefully LeBron can kind of reduce his minutes so he can not have his knee problems and also realize that he is actually 37. Because at some point he is going to realize that. When I mean him, I mean his body, you know, and then things just happen, unfortunately. You know, so I don't even know where they even go with this, because I just saw Frank Vogel's face. I mean, the whole team's face, like, wow, like, really? Like, AD is out again? Like, I saw the stats on it. Like, they said AD is only available 1 out of 3 games. Like, bruh. Like, you can't build a championship roster like that. Like, that was just... Man. I feel for you guys. Really. I really do. But one thing I had to get at the Lakers fans for, at least... Or even just the Lakers, period. Don't put it all on Westbrook. That's just, it's just not accurate and it's just not right. Throwing it all on one guy, just making him the scapegoat to try to make all you guys look good. The real people, the real basketball fans who actually watch the games and have an appreciation for all the intricacies that are needed in order to have a successful basketball team. I see it. I see it. I see why Magic left. You know, it's all starting to make sense. Like, the organization is just not being ran correctly for whatever reason. You have to fire Rob Pelinka. I'm sorry. Like, it's one of those sorry, not sorry. You have to fire him. I understand how complicated that is. I do. I mean, but really, but business is business. Like, nobody understands this more than me. Like, you know, Kobe Bryant is, like, everything. Like, you know what I mean? Especially to that organization, but, you know, that mama mentality. But if you were a true fan of Kobe Bryant, especially like I am, I understand. Rob Pelinka is, Kobe Bryant's godfather. Like, you know, like, so I get the connection. I get the reason to keep him around, you know? But at this point, we have to make some hard-hitting decisions, because it is a business. We can't keep going this way. And you can't keep just making Russ the blame for everything. No. Yeah, he wanted to come to L.A., but I guess he thought that there was a game plan. Maybe he thought guys would, you know, be healthy, would be playing together. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe he didn't know all the different things that were going. Maybe he didn't realize how the organization was really ran, because, you know, from the outside, we probably see it as a real button-up organization. Like, wow, these guys really know what they're doing here. Like, you know, they're respectable. You know, they have the championships to back it up, but they got, like, 17 tied with Boston. So it's like, you know, this is an organization I want to be a part of. Legacy, Magic, you know. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Kareem, you know. The Kobe's and the Magic's, you know. I mean, the list obviously can go on and on. But they got to figure it out. And after last night, I mean, to me, maybe play-in tournament and done. People are saying, you know, AD only made, because they did the x-ray last night, right? And they said it came out negative, meaning that he has no broken bones, right? Okay, cool. And sometimes you may need to check, you know, do another one, but, you know, whatever. And he still needs to get an MRI done, but everybody is like, oh, it's a sprain. And, you know, I'm like, sprains are very complicated, though. You know, there's different grades, you know, and depending on the grade, it can leave him out for the rest of the season. You know, because some people hear a sprain and they think it's, like, not that big of a deal. But if you understand what a sprain is, and how complicated, or even if it doesn't leave you out for the whole season, if it's not that great, but at the same time, it can be nagging. And if you're already a guy that's not healthy or known to be, you know, I hate to say fragile, because that's, you know, all right, so fragile, you know, it's a long season. Like, we're just about halfway point. You know, and then it, and then the intensity picks up. It's it. You're gonna have to take it up another notch, and I just don't see it. So I see the Lakers playing tournament. I don't even see them getting into the playoffs. Honestly, I just don't see it. Don't see it. You know, they were already saying like, oh, maybe he might be out 2 weeks. No, he's not. He's nope. And then you know you have to rest LeBron, because LeBron was already complaining about his knee. Like I said, Lakers fans, I'm sorry. Hopefully in the offseason, you guys can make some other moves and really make some hard decisions that you have yet to realize. You know, you need to just sit down, have a heart-to-heart, really figure it out about where this organization should be and where it should go. And it might have to start with bringing Magic back into the fold, but to be continued. When it comes to the Lakers in this situation, you never know exactly where that's going to head. And the Nets. Man. The Nets. Okay. Not really going to say much about y'all because of the way y'all beat on my Knicks. You know, yeah, we blew a 28-point lead. But if you are a Knicks fan, you are not surprised. Not only are you not surprised, you're kind of just fed up. And I'm not even going to say any more about the Knicks, because if you listen to Stephen A. Smith, I believe he said it for us all. Normally, he doesn't speak for me. No one does. But I think what he said is fine for me. Like, we're just over it. You know? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if there's a coaching change that needs to be made at this point. But I feel like that's all we do. That seems to be our problem. I don't know if we need to change. I mean, we've been making changes from the GM to the president of basketball operations. I mean, we already know the elephant in the room, right? James Dolan, he's been need to go. Because he's not even in the limelight, and we still bad. You know, so we can't even blame him for, you know, being out there on, you know, just saying whatever, just being annoying, really. We can't blame him for that, you know. But he is behind the scenes, he is making the decisions, and what do we have to show for it? Like, there's really nothing else to say besides, you know, Knicks fans are frustrated, myself included, frustrated. Don't know what else to do, don't know what else to say about it. Like, everybody is just frustrated and just over it. I do like the way the Nets kept fighting, though. No KD, no Kyrie. You know, Ben Simmons is not playing just yet. But the fight, Seth Curry, man, that dude's a starter. That dude is a starter. I think he's elevated himself into a starting role. I can see why maybe teams are hesitant to do so, probably because more so on the defensive end. But he comes up with some steals too sometimes. So I don't really know. I mean, I know there's a lot of big guards in the league, but I don't know. Seth will give you some numbers though. Andre Drummond, he was doing this thing as well. Like, I like the fact that that young team stepped up. That's what you want to see. That's what we Knicks fans want to see with our young players. We want to see them develop and step up. They're going to make their mistakes. We want to see Obi Toppin develop into something more than just, you know, a highlight reel, you know, dunking the ball on somebody, you know, posterizing somebody. We want to see a little bit more than that. We know he has more than that in him. You know, he's trying to get his, you know, the three-point ball, you know, he's not there yet, but he needs the minutes, though. People don't understand that about shooters. When you're in rhythm, in game, like, you, to get up them shots in order to feel comfortable and have that confidence, especially if you're playing in the garden, come on. You already, quickly, his number, he kind of plateaued, right? Awesome season last year. What happened this year? Kimba not playing for I don't know how long because Tibbs, you know, it was like, nah. And now he's back in, and Evan Fournier, he's just inconsistent to me. Randall, oh man, like, the list goes on and on. See, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, and look, see, that this is why I can't with the Knicks. We're not going to do that. We're not going to ruin the show by talking about the Knicks. But anyway, but we do need to talk about something when it comes to Kyrie, right? So, Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York City, right? Now, to be fair, these mandates and a lot of things were already put in place, but prior to him getting there, does he have the power to remove them and to maybe put other mandates or just let go of the mandates entirely? Of course, that's his right as mayor. He does have that. But you have what you need to understand and what people need to appreciate is that there's roughly 9 million people living in New York City, you know, roughly. Because not everybody filled out that damn census properly. So, roughly. That is a rough estimate. So, they could be double for all we know. And the way traffic builds up in New York City, I'm willing to bet my money that it is. That if he lifts these mandates, right, he is fearful that if the numbers start going up, guess what? Optics-wise, or just how it looks, it's going to be his fault, right? And I get it. Does it make sense that Kyrie Irving, who plays for the Brooklyn Nets, cannot play home games, right? Because he is not vaccinated. But a player, let's say Bradley Beal, plays at the Barclays Center, obviously as a visitor, because he is not on the Brooklyn Nets. He is on the Washington Wizards. He would be eligible to play, even though that he is in that same status. He is non-vaccinated. Now, is that fair? No. It doesn't make sense. But this is why it doesn't make sense. Because at one point, you know, we were locked down, right? And then we slowly started to lift things, right? And then when we started to lift certain, you know, requirements, making them not so strict, so that way we can have comedy. so that way we can have an economy, you know, in New York City, right? So commerce, right? So people can come in, do their thing, like celebrities, bringing money to the city, essentially. Everybody still can make their money and go out, and that's what they wanted, because everybody wanted to come back open. They wanted to make their money, so they wanted to make it so, okay, we want to protect the people here, though, because there's a billion of y'all living here. There's a lot of you guys living here. So we want to protect you guys because you guys are on top of each other. And people who, you know, live in other states, you know, probably may not understand what that means. Like, when you take the train, you're on top of people. When you're living in an apartment building, you're literally on top of people. When you're in the elevator, the staircase, when you're outside, you're not even able to keep a distance of 6-3 feet or whatever the case is now. So they were trying to find ways to protect that. Does it always make sense? No. Were they always giving us the right information all the time? No. You know, they were just figuring it out as they were going along and doing the best they could based off the demands of the people. You know, because it wasn't like people were saying, no, take your time, you know, figure it out, get it right. No, they were like, no, we want to get open. So they were trying to get open. And when you rush things, things tend to get a little messy, and they always don't make sense. Why? Because it wasn't properly thought out, right? So now you have a new mayor. He's scared to really change anything because if the numbers go up, and mind you, we do have a new variant, you know, Omicron. He's scared that if he does lift those mandates, for anyone, for people that are supposed to be visiting, when I mean visiting, I mean people who are entertaining, like basketball players, whatever, they're supposed to be in and out. They're supposed to be doing what they got to do, right? And then leave. You know? Based, obviously, it's the vaccination status and mask and, you know, or whatever the CDC guidelines are, you know, according to that region. But it's like, so it's like he doesn't want that to be on his head if those numbers go up, because of him erasing something that's been around, you know, excuse me, throughout the pandemic, and which has worked, right? Because obviously the numbers are trending down. You know, you like, because of the variant, yeah, it went up, but for the most part, they are trending down because of the mandates. You know, not necessarily, I'm not going to, you know, go back and forth with people. I just mean, we're just looking at the data, with the changes that were made, the numbers started trending down. So, yeah, so I get why people would be more open to saying, okay, well, we need to move in that direction, you know, with the numbers going down, then we need to start revisiting it. And I think, I believe that eventually he will revisit it, but I can see why he is scared to do that. Because then if something happens, you guys will be ready to jump all over him. Let's face it, that's exactly what's going to happen. And everybody is so quick to say, oh, what he should do and what he shouldn't do, when in reality, that's not how important decisions like that are made. They have to be well thought out. I'm sure he has a lot of different advisors, you know, hopefully are doctors and scientists and people who study these sort of things and who've seen things like this before and understand, you know, because everything, especially in the health field, at least that I understand, everything is a risk versus benefit. You know, so it's like if the benefit outweighs the risk, they're willing to take a chance on it. But if the risk outweighs the benefit, guess what? Probably not going to take a chance on it. Right? So, I mean, people are either going to understand that or not. I mean, I can't. It's just what's logical and what's not. I mean, does it all make sense? No. But I get the hesitation, though. I get the hesitation. I get people just want to see him play. But, I mean, as much as I love sports, too. But, guys, like, there's a lot of things that are bigger than sports. You know, that's just the reality of things. You have to, it has to make sense. And when we rush things, like I said, they always won't make perfect sense. But yeah, Kyrie is in a unique situation. And he was honest from jump, and we have to at least give him that. He was honest about where he stands, and from what I see, that he is, like, abiding by the rules. So that's really all we can ask for and see what we can do moving forward. Because I know Adam Silver addressed it, and he said it's not fair that visiting players who are also not vaxxed get to play. Meanwhile, the home player in New York, not vaxxed, doesn't get to play. You know, it's like, it's, I get it, though. I can honestly say that I get it in the sense of it's not an easy decision to make, even though people are just ready to be like, well, makes sense to me, bam, pull the trigger. Oh, whatever. That's just me. But I do believe the Nets are going to be scary, though. Like, once they figure everything out, and it will be interesting, because I also thought about if the Nets do have a playoff series with Toronto, Kyrie won't be able to play in any of those games. So that's interesting. You know, because of the base off the mandates, what they have going on in Canada and also in New York. So that's really interesting. So you're just going to have, you know, I mean, which isn't too shabby. You are going to have Ben Simmons, you know, hopefully a healthy KD, Seth, Andre Drummond, like you, and then you have your role players. Like, it's workable, but at the same time, chemistry, I'm telling you, that matters. But we also have some other scary teams in the league, but we always seem to keep focus on just the Lakers and Nets just because of the intrigue of the superstar, you know, super team type thing. But remember the Warriors, I know they're going through their ups and downs, but you got to remember, they don't have the heart of that team. They don't have the enforcer, and they don't have Klay Thompson fully back yet. Yeah, he had that breakout game, but he isn't Klay Thompson just yet. And when he is, and hopefully if he is, like, just in time for the playoffs, and then you have Wiseman coming back, you got Draymond coming back, that's going to be scary, guys. I'm telling you. That is a team you need to watch out for. But all these other teams that are making moves and that are looking good, too. I mean, nobody's talking about the Bucks, which kills me, too. The Bucks somehow always slide on the radar, you know, casual reigning champs, whatevs. Just slowly just doing whatever they got to do. Just staying relevant. It's just funny, like, how that happens. But I'm going to start really ranking teams and to see where everybody... Because right now, I don't feel like everybody's in their proper place yet. You know, we're heading into All-Star break this weekend, which I'll be watching. You know, all the celebrity games, the skill challenges. You know, you never really know what the dunk contest is going to look like. Three-point contest is always good, in my opinion. I've always enjoyed that. Or even the All-Star game. You never really know what that's going to look like. We have... You know, guys not playing, so, but we do have some new stars that have elevated to that position. Like LaMelo Ball, you know, that's awesome that they actually chose him. I think he's been doing his thing throughout. That's well deserved, especially working his way up when you think about him playing on the bench, not really getting much time. And of course, everybody was putting the pressure on the coach and everybody else. Like, this guy's a starter, he's a starter. He comes out, you know, he makes a couple mistakes. He looks like he's very coachable. He's learned the game very well. He genuinely loves the game of basketball. You can just see the way he plays. He plays with such joy. And for him to see him become an All-Star for the first time, you know, and it's only, what, his, like, second year in the league, third year. Awesome. But, guys, I got to run. And just always remember, life equals lost lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.